It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to episode number 145 of the WNO podcast, home to all discussions of the Who's Number One event. We got a lot of big stuff coming, a lot of big announcements about the event coming this month. But first off, we got a crazy event. I think the best one yet coming this month. Joining me as always, Corey Stockton shaved off his facial hair. Reed Condal never going to shave his facial hair.
Got it.
In the back, Connor Joshen lost his ID. He's taking a bus 18 hours to Tennessee to get a new one. But poor fella, things just haven't been working out for him since he moved to Austin. But he's going to get it together one day. We got a big event to talk about, guys. I mean, it's Who's Number One, Gordon Ryan versus Luis Ponza, right? But from top to bottom, even the prelims, this stuff is crazy.
Here we go. They just keep getting bigger and bigger every single time we do these ones. We got a bigger main event, more guys on the card, bigger stars every single time, and this one's no exception. Huge, huge main event. Gordon Ryan taking on, you know, what I think is definitely one of the biggest tests of his Who's Number One career. So definitely huge, huge main event. We got Mikey back on the card. Always excited to have Mikey on there. Plenty of killers. I love this one, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it too late to change it? Some of these prelims should not be prelims. We can raise some of them up. We're giving them away for free. But these are some awesome matches. I'm really looking forward to Mikey Galvao and Andrew Taggart for sure.
All right, so I'm going to run down. We'll get to all these matches on this thing. I'm going to run down. So starting with the prelims, Luis Quiñones. I don't know how you say his last name exactly, from 10th Planet versus Damian Anderson from DDS. That's a featherweight match to kick it off. Cole Abate coming back versus Bird, the younger Wiltsy from the Daisy Fresh crew. That's another prelim, crazy one. Andrew Taggart versus Mikael Galvao is a just insane matchup. The third prelim of the night. All these free on Facebook and YouTube. And you get to the main card. DDS versus AOJ. Taza versus Jonathan Alves. Jessica Converse, Patty Fontes, the crazy woman strawweight division that we've been following all year. Nicky Ryan fighting Gabriel Almeida was a last-minute addition. Wagner Hosha versus Hinger is just a great matchup stylistically. Mikey Musumeci versus Lucas Pinedo. Mikey coming for that number one spot in the co-main. And then Gordon versus Pans in the main event. Let's talk about what's everybody's favorite match of the event. What are you thinking, Corey?
Oof. It's a crazy card from top to bottom. I really like Hinger and Wagner. I think that's no way that's going to be a boring match, right? It's going to be a little violent, but definitely not boring. And one thing I like about this match, I think we talked about this a little bit last time, is that Wagner has a way of making most wrestlers not want to wrestle with him. I think Hinger is one of the very few guys that has the wrestling caliber to actually take a shot on him.
Two veterans, man. Yeah, two veterans. Sure. You know, the guys have been around the block, never faced off against each other. Of course, Wagner kind of moving up in weight a little bit. That's a great one, man. Can't wait for that.
What are you thinking, Reed? What's the best match on this card in your
opinion? Man, we got nine matches. All nine of them are sick. You know, super excited about all of them. It's hard to pick just one, but I will give a shout-out to Cole Abate versus Bird Wiltsy there. You know, of course, Andrew Wiltsy has been killing it on this stage. It's time for his brother to get that call up, get that step up to this next level. A lot of question marks about Bird Wiltsy. You know, obviously we've seen how good Andrew is, so is Bird as good as Andrew? A lot of questions there. And then, of course, we saw Cole at the last one, or a few Who's Number Ones ago. I forget. He had incredible performance against Ned Johnson. So Cole is coming back. Two young up-and-comers, two guys who have you know, I've never faced off before. So I'll give a shout-out to that match. That match has got me really, really pumped.
There's only one 10th Planet match on this card, so we already know who Connor's picking. He's going with the first one with Luiz versus Dane. But really,
that's a good one.
Yeah. Connor, what's your pick here? What's going to be the match of the night on this card?
I want to see Mikey Musumeci face off with the number one ranked guy in his weight class. I think that was the big concern last time we had Mikey on the show, is that he was facing someone that maybe wasn't ranked high enough for what they thought his pedigree deserved, and now we get to see it. You know, he's going to go for that number one spot per the name of the show, so I'm excited.
What are they saying in the chat? Is your buddy O'Steve in there today?
O'Steve is. He was actually happy to see me here because I humor him.
We got some show regulars now.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. What's going on in there? What are they saying?
Honestly, people are wondering when Gordon's going to do a gi match. I think they're a little bit confused about where his head's at.
I think the answer to that is never.
Yeah.
But
he's going to do MMA before he does the gi, I have a feeling.
Yeah, no. All right, my favorite match on this card.
What do you got, Mike? What's the favorite one?
I think it's just Andrew versus Mika Galvao, man. That match is going to be crazy. I don't know what the hell is going to happen. Like, obviously, we'll do our predictions next week, but Mika Galvao, everybody hypes him up. And Andrew Tech, it's no joke, man. Andrew Tech went against Yadimarco, a very accomplished IBJJF purple belt, and stomped him at who's number one not long ago. I think if this goes longer than 10 minutes, I could see Andrew taking this thing. But that's sort of a question mark match. They're both young. They're both around the same size. Andrew Tackett, we know he can go all day. It'll be a tough test for Mika Galvao coming out on who's number one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's kick it off at the top. Let's
jump into all nine of these matches.
Let's go with all nine of them.
Yeah,
let's start at the main event and work our way down.
Okay.
Gordon Ryan, Luiz Panza. This is an interesting one, right? It's like, a lot of people were surprised by this because Panza's sort of been off the radar for a minute, but he's a big dude. He's a no-gi world champion, and most importantly, he's got the balls to go out there and do it, right? Like, a lot of these people, they just don't want to do the match. And Panza, this is an interesting matchup. When I was out there filming with him last week in California, and he was looking good, man. He was training hard. He's big. I mean, this is going to be an interesting one. What do you guys think about this match?
Yeah, one thing, and I think I've hit this point a bunch of times, but it's, I think, something that we should take notice of is that every one of Panza's last 13 wins, he's won by submission.
Mm.
And that's something that it means something. It means that, you know, most guys that we see face Gordon don't really want to engage with Gordon. Now, there are the outliers, right? There's guys like Roberto who are going to throw the kitchen sink at Gordon and see if anything sticks. But that's what we want in a Gordon match, right? We don't want to see guys run away from him. Regardless of the outcome of this match, I think it's going to make for an exciting matchup, knowing that Pons is a finisher.
Yeah, I think a lot of people maybe didn't see this one coming, you know, but I think, you know, Michael can attest, the struggle out there to find Gordon Ryan opponents is very, very real. You know, that's something that we're struggling with every time.
Yeah,
but
the fans at home just don't even know. You see these guys say stuff on Instagram and they say other stuff behind closed doors. It just makes me sick. I just want to start outing people one day, but I can't do that.
We're working on it for sure, finding the best possible matches, the best possible tests for Gordon. And, you know, like, Panza is the guy. Panza is the guy who stepped up. Panza is the guy who said, I want this match. Panza is the guy who said, I think I have something for Gordon. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for anybody who thinks they can test Gordon in any way, in any spot. Like, this is why Panza has the shot, because he's out there campaigning for it. He's the one who came to us and said, I want this match. So you got to respect Panza for doing that. And, of course, he's a big dude, a no-gi world champion. He's been the number two heavyweight in Checkmate, behind the world's best in Marcus Buchecha Almeida. He's been Buchecha's main training partner for virtually all of Buchecha's 13 world title runs. So he knows what it takes to be the best. I think this is a perfect matchup for Gordon. It's somebody he's never seen before. It's a guy who's going to test him physically in that way. And I think there's a lot of question marks on this one. It's a very interesting matchup.
I think it's just ego sort of too, because it's like a lot of these guys, it's like, okay, why do you want to take the match with Gordon? Like, what's the worst? You're going to get the biggest payday you ever got. You're going to get more publicity than you ever got. So what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to get tapped by Gordon? I mean, I think it's just these guys' ego. They think don't want to go out there and lose to him. Because guess what? I got news for you. Everybody already knows. Everybody already thinks that you'll lose to Gordon Ryan. You're not hurting your status somehow by losing to Gordon Ryan. He's the best probably to ever do it. So just take the match. But Panza, you know, props to him. He's going out there going after the best guy in the world.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you got to give up to him. And but this is an exciting one. Like I said, he's a big dude. He's somebody that Gordon, you know, he brings things to the table that Gordon's never seen before. I think he has leg locks. He has the lower body submissions. You know, he's a great guard player. You know, so I think this definitely brings a lot of question marks to Gordon's game, how he's going to approach things, he's going to wrestle, that type of thing.
When's the last time we saw Gordon up against somebody who's bigger than him? Was it ADCC or is there a time out? I can't think
maybe
of anything.
I think he fought like
Gabriel
Gonzaga at one point. Let me pull
that up. That must have been right post ADCC.
Yeah, Gordon Ryan. I mean, definitely, I mean, his last couple matches were, I mean, they were, the Wagner match wasn't as big of a size disparity as people made it out to be. It was like 15 pounds. Wagner was like 201. Yeah. But it's like Wagner still, he cuts to 185.
Kyle Bame had to be close, I guess, right?
Kyle Bame was just a few pounds off. I think Gordon was like 3 or 4
of course,
pounds heavier.
Buchecha was much bigger than him.
Right. I mean, after, okay, all right. Well, he fought Mateus, Roberto.
That's an interesting fold, though, too. Is obviously Buchecha's last grappling match was against Gordon. Didn't go Buchecha's way, but it was a very close match. That's something that Checkmate wants back, I think. I think Checkmate had a close match with Gordon, and they see avenues to victory. You know, Buchecha wasn't able to get the submission or get the win, even. But that's something that I think Leo, Panza, Buchecha, like, they're all working towards toppling the... you know, Gordon Ryan, anyway.
In terms of size of his opponents, there's 5 randoms here that he fought at Grappling Industries I never heard of, but I don't know about them. But I would say 2019 versus Gabriel Gonzaga was probably, Ed Sugg was probably the last time he fought somebody bigger.
Yeah, since 2019, we're talking about, you know, a year and a half, 2 years since his last opponent who matches him size-wise. And again, Kyle Bame only a couple pounds off, and really Wagner not very far off, but it's nice to see him up against somebody who's heavier, not just at his weight.
But you got to go out there, Mike, right? You got to meet up with Panza. You got to check out Panza training.
I went to Checkmate in Signal Hill, California. He's training hard, man. He's out there with El Monstro.
He's taking this serious. He knows it's a big opportunity.
He knows it's a big opportunity. He's loving it. I mean, he's ready to go. I mean, Leo and him had nothing but good things to say about Gordon. They appreciate how Gordon's growing the sport. We'll have some really good content coming from them soon. Connor, what's going on in the YouTube comments?
People are obviously bringing up the question marks around Ponza's name, but I think Corey's point was perfect. Was, you know, especially when we talk about Gordon Ryan, we're talking about the ADCC champ, and whenever you talk about ADCC, you're talking about the physicality that comes with it, these huge opponents, these larger-than-life physicalities that he's going to have to put up with, and, you know, Ponza's a perfect body for that.
If we take some common opponents, you could take, I don't know, just out of the blue here, Dylan Danis as a common opponent between Panza and Gordon Ryan. Panza kind of beat Dylan up and,
really?
And passed his guard.
Was this a gi or no gi match?
It is in the gi.
I got to check this match out. What year was it from?
2017, I believe, is 2017, 2018. Panza kind of, I believe he beats him 10-0, 11-0. I could be wrong about that. And then, of course, you know, Gordon had a very, very close match with Dylan in 2017 ADCC, so who knows?
And the chat brought up the fact that Wagner did a decent job of getting into leg entanglements with Gordon, but this time around, you know, Panza may be a more dangerous opponent within those leg entanglements for a finish.
We can't forget something, too, that makes the everything harder for Gordon when he goes out there, is that he's got this thing going where he picks the move he's going to do. Like, that's you're going to have a tough time with a guy like Luis Panza. You can only do one submission.
Like, yeah, now that's sort of his thing now, yeah. So now he's got to keep it up. Like,
yeah, and if you write something down and then doesn't do it, then it's like, that's a bad look. You're kind of committing, you know?
And when we're talking about leg entanglements, I don't know, maybe we'll do, but I don't see Gordon throwing a heel hook on there just because it seems like, you know, he probably wants to get away from there. Everybody says, oh DDS just got these heel hooks, but it's like, no, they're good everywhere. I mean, we saw, what was this one last time, Kimura? Or it was
triangle.
Yeah. It was, yeah. That's right, he went from a Kimura to a triangle at the end. Mm-hmm.
I would like to see what the chat thinks about what submission they think Gordon's going to call.
I know, like, what's left,
he
right?
He called for Roberto. He called mounted arm lock or something, right? He called from the mount, which is interesting. A lot of guys don't even really like the mount in no-gi, so.
And then of course, he didn't call it, but he did heel hook Mateus. He called the triangle against Hollick Gracie as well.
So there's any number of leg locks he could call. I'm just assuming he's not going to go back to one he already did. He could go to a guillotine. He hasn't called a RNC. He hasn't called a Kimura.
Kyotera footlock. I'm calling it here. That's how he's ending it.
He hasn't called the Gogo Plata.
Kyotera footlock would be a bold one. Because
I know.
Yeah, I mean, the guy could just stay on his knees the entire match.
Yeah, guy has to stand up.
Let's get behind it. Let's have him call a twister on this one.
Ooh, call twister.
Call a deep cut.
Yeah, yeah. So there's plenty of submissions for Gordon to kind of go down the line now.
Figure four leg lock, sharpshooter.
Teresa Plata.
Yeah.
Walls of Jericho.
Yeah, walls of Jericho. Absolutely. All right, so moving on. You know that one's going to be exciting. It's always fun when Gordon competes. But the co-main event here is also kind of crazy. We have the number one ranked guy in the weight class, Lucas Pinedo from Atos. He won, what, Nogi Pins. He's been winning a bunch of IBJJF stuff. I think it'd be Joel Meow at Fight to Win. Going against Mikey Musumeci, who's a guy who obviously a lot of people would feel is the real number one just because of how accomplished he is, but he's only got one Nogi match in the last few years. So, I mean, this is one that's really exciting. Mikey's match last time against Marcelo Cohen was a lot of people didn't think that it was a real challenge for Mikey, no disrespect to Marcelo. But, I mean, this is one that going into there's no doubt that Lucas is a real challenge for Mikey.
Yeah, for sure. He's got, I would say, maybe better wrestling than Mikey, right? He's got a great top game. He's a real submission hunter. Really curious to see, again, I think we had some of these questions answered between Mikey and Marcelo, but how does Mikey shape his game in this, right? I mean, is he going to go right to guard? Is he going to try and get top position? Pinero is great on top and bottom, but clearly the game is different for both of these guys, Gi versus Nogi, right?
Yeah, I think what's most exciting about Mikey coming into the Nogi realm is because we haven't seen him in here before. And I think it's just, I think we all can agree that Mikey revolutionized, you know, the Gi competition. I think, you know, with what he was doing it with the Baron Bolos and especially for the lower weights, you know, I think he really revolutionized what competition looks like for those guys. And I expect him to do the same here in Nogi. You know, Nogi definitely, some people even call Nogi a different sport from the Gi, right? It's very, very different. And I'm so excited to see how Mikey is going to change the game here in Nogi. Like, he definitely has that capability.
Let's talk about the difference between Mikey's mindset and Nogi from when you visited him a couple months ago to when I visited him last week.
Yeah.
What was he like when you visited him in Las Vegas?
Yeah, so, well, I went and visited him, I believe it was, February or March or whatever. I went down to Vegas to check out how he was training for the Marcelo match, how he was getting along and everything like that, and do some interviews. And we went down there, and basically he said to me that the one training session that I filmed while we were there in Vegas was the extent of his Nogi training camp. That basically he was focused on the Gi at that point. He was still making huge improvements, leaps and bounds in his Gi game, and he didn't want to give up the Gi. So basically he only trained one time for his last Nogi match on Who's Number One. That was my experience.
Lots changed with Mr. Musumeci. He says since that Marcelo match, he has not trained in the Gi. He's training every day in Nogi now. He only wants to compete in Nogi, he says. So Who's Number One lit a fire under Mikey, and I think it's sort of a thing, just like when he did the Absolute at Euros, he's like, all right, this is fun for me now. I'm not just beating the same guys in the same way over and over again. Mm-hmm, now he's got something new to focus on, and when you're Mikey and your brain's moving like that fast, it's like he can probably get bored of doing the same thing for a while, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, now I got new stuff to figure out and everything, and I'm really looking forward to see what Mike, I think he's going to change a lot of Nogi positions.
Exactly. Yeah, one of the things that really stuck out to me in his interview back in the day was, or back in February, was we were talking about him doing absolute divisions and him fighting guys who are 100 pound, 200 pounds bigger than him. Like, why are you doing these types of things, you know? Why are you going out and changing and fighting in the Nogi and stuff like that? And he was saying that he wants to have that feeling when he steps on the mat, he doesn't know 100% that he's going to win because he's so used to going out there and fighting the same guys, fighting guys that he's just way better than, and that he goes out there and he just knows he's going to win. So he's chasing that feeling of unsure, like, am I going to win? Am I going to lose? Like, that anxiety of it. He's actually chasing that feeling, which just really blew my mind.
Well, Mikey's he's a scientist, right? Like, he's looking for a problem to solve. And when he doesn't feel like he has a problem to solve, he gets bored, right? So clearly, with how obsessive he is as a person, like, sticking him in Nogi and getting him kind of addicted to Nogi, he's got a lot of new problems to solve, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You can't play this game or that style or this style.
No more 50-50.
Right. There's new things that you have to learn, new things you have to figure out. And in his case, most likely new things he has to invent.
Really. Absolutely. Yeah. And Lucas Pinheiro is a great test. He's a guy, you know, top heavy. He trains with one of the best teams in the world. Of course, Atos is going to have him ready for this match. So I think it's a perfect match for Mikey. Perfect test for him.
Before we get to breaking down the match, you guys got to be ready for this stuff that's coming. When Reed and them make the road to Who's Number One and they got the Mikey stuff, we got some crazy stuff with Mikey. This guy is a lunatic with the way he eats. each one time a day, 7,000 calories, just pizza and pasta. No meat on the pizza, just bread and cheese. That's all this guy eats, and he stays ripped. And then we went out to the desert and did some stuff. All I got to say, there was multiple times I was scared that Mikey was going to die when I was in the desert with him. There was some crazy stuff coming. But this matchup, how do you guys think it plays out? We saw Mikey against Marcelo. He just sat instantly, right? You don't need grips here. I think Mikey sits and Lucas is passing. Lucas, interestingly, has passed Mikey's guard before. I think when they were brown belts, right, in the gi. But I think we're going to see Lucas trying to was it black belt?
I think it might have been black belt.
I know they fought at brown belt.
No, at black belt they fought once. It was 4-0.
Okay, I think. But Lucas has passed his guard in the gi. But I mean, Lucas likes to pressure pass. When you're watching him at Etos, I mean, that's what it's going to be, right? Mikey's going to sit. Lucas is going to try and pressure.
Which is exactly what Lucas wants, right? I think Lucas wants to try to pass the guard, and he's familiar with Mikey enough, so he knows what he's kind of walking into. I think, and I think that's exactly what he's going to try to do. Yeah.
And even if Mikey doesn't sit for whatever reason, I think like I said before, Lucas has better takedowns.
I think Lucas is actually one of the tougher no-gi matchups for Mikey, because I think a lot of these guys who are going to try and play leg locks and stuff with him are just going to get bolo, dude. Mm-hmm. I think Lucas is going to be, you know, he's going to be a little bit tougher to get that game going.
Lucas is big, too. He's big for that weight class, I feel like. He's long. You know, he's always had a little bit trouble cutting down to that rooster weight class, because I think he is a little bit more of a light feather. So he's going to be bigger. He's going to be the bigger guy. And he's going to be trying to put the pressure on Mikey, you know, so we'll see how he deals with that.
I think one of the big innovations coming in no-gi, we saw a lot with the – I mean, it's nothing new. I mean, Felipe Pena, Kine, and these guys have been doing it for a while, but we saw with the Rubitolos last week because people just find a new way to roll to bolos and to get the bag.
Like, are leg locks over? Are leg locks – is the trend of leg locks over?
It's definitely become a lot more of a risk to play leg locks unless you're sure you have control, right? Because as we saw with Ty and William Tackett, right, Ty was inviting the leg lock. Please put me in 50-50 so I can go outside Ashi and bolo you.
Which is, it's interesting what the approach to it has been from a lot of the top teams. It seems like they didn't try to get as good at the leg locks as the DDS. Everybody's just been obsessed with learning how to counter it and how to defend it, right? Like, you don't see these guys trying to do leg entries and heel hook people too often, right?
But that's so much more interesting for us as a fan, right? I don't want to see you run out of a leg lock. I want to see what your next thing is.
Yeah, because if both guys are going for the leg lock, it can be like old school gi, double guard, agonizing to watch. Connor, what's going on YouTube? And you got any input on this match that we've been talking about?
Yeah, a lot of the fans are excited to see Mikey, and they're confident that he will bolo him into a victory. I'm excited for it, but, you know, we'll see. I think people are also thinking Gordon is going for rear naked choke for this next one. I think that's his next call out, and they're saying because he's bigger, etc. So,
we ever do Mikey versus Gordon? Would that be?
I think we have to now that you mention it. Yeah.
Ask in the chat. Would they be interested in that one?
We were gonna do Mikey versus Herbert at one point before COVID, so anything is possible.
true.
All right, let's move it.
I often think of a world where we did Mikey versus Herbert. What that world would look like. It would be a new jiu-jitsu world, I think.
Mikey might not be alive anymore if he did that match. Who knows what would have happened? Herbert's going to be in prison. A lot of stuff could have went down. Cracking open a little taurine L-carnitine because we're moving along the card. This match is these guys have never fought, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's crazy they never fought. These guys are both veterans. They got a great style to go against each other.
Big response. Fans are excited about this one.
I mean, this is just one that looking at it, it's like, I got to start drinking Coke like Reed. They got these sugar-free monsters out there. I don't know what I'm doing. Questioning my life decisions here. But these guys, it's like Wagner Hosha versus Josh Hinger. Both ADCC medalists. Josh took bronze his only time. Wagner has taken silver and bronze. But they both love to be on their feet. They're both scrappy. I mean, these guys don't shy away from a dirty match, right?
Yeah, they both got to the ADCC podium in, I think, all three occasions, right? By basically the same method, right? Just beating people up and making them quit and climbing their way up to the podium.
Well, Wagner pisses people off. He gets in their head every time. I think Josh is going to sort of welcome that. Josh is going to like that kind of match, right?
I feel like Josh is just, you know, he's exciting. That's my favorite part about Josh. He's a four-time Masters World? I mean, Nogi World Champion?
Nogi World Champion.
Four-time Nogi World Champion. And I feel like watching him win those four tournaments, like he kills guys in those Nogi World Championships. I remember, you know, obviously him submitting there, Marcus Tinoco, and I mean, he's got huge wins, and a lot of them, of course, with the Hinger team, very exciting style. You know, Wagner's not gonna play easy either. He's not gonna pull. I think they'll have a wrestling battle, so that'll be interesting. And what I love about Josh too is he shoots. Like he shoots actually too, so he's got good wrestling. This should be a fun one for sure.
I mean, I feel like Josh is gonna have to shoot here, right? Because it's like, I wouldn't go under Josh if I'm going against him with that Hinger team.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really think for both of these guys, we're going to see some classic, almost like an ADCC match, right? Neither of these guys want to be on their back. Mm-hmm. We rarely see Wagner on his back. Nobody wants to be under Wagner, of course, especially, you know, Josh's passing game is arguably better than his guard game. So we're going to see a war to get to the top position because neither person wants to be playing guard.
And this is Wagner kind of trying to cross off those names at 88 kilograms. Like, right? There's a bunch of good big names at 88 that Wagner is just trying to cross off. Of course, Wagner won most of his medals at 77 kilograms. You know, he's getting a little older, putting on some weight, bulking up a little bit. Looks like he's going after that 88 kilogram spot this time around. And he's going after guys like Mateus Denise, guys like Josh Hinger. Of course, he fought Shanji Hibero. He fought William Tackett. So he's looking for these big names. And, you know, a bronze medalist at ADCC is the perfect test for him.
Do we think this is his kind of proof of concept to see if he can hang in the 88-kilogram division at ADCC?
For sure. I bet. Hey, man, Wagner is a gamer. One thing we all love about Wagner is that dude is ready to throw down. Dude wants to throw down. Dude wants the biggest and best names. So no doubt, I think if he gets through Hinger, he's going to be calling out Mateus Denise.
I mean, he already beat Blank. Mm-hmm. And who's number one, who took fourth at ADCC, right? had a great run. I think he's got no choice, but I think he's gotten big. Like we said, he was like 201 or 202 for the Gordon match. I don't know if we're going to see Wagner cut all the way back down there, but he's looking great at this weight class. I wouldn't be surprised if, even though typically people think of Wagner as smaller than Josh, if Wagner shows up heavier on the day of competition here.
True. He might even be taller. He might be thicker. So, like, Wagner's looking big these days.
How do you guys think Wagner's wrestling style plays into the Hinger team? Do you think he's more or less susceptible to most other opponents?
I think Josh is gonna have to snap him down to get to it. I don't see Wagner. Yeah. I don't see Wagner going under him.
Mm-hmm. Wagner's got great defensive wrestling. He's a hard guy to take down, right? So I think that'll be Wagner's play. And just kind of trying to capitalize off of one of Josh's bad shots, maybe, or something like that. But like I said, I like that Josh is a dude who actually does. He goes out and shoots, tries to take people down from you know, 10 seconds into the match.
Right. Wagner may have to shoot in this, though. If he wants to establish a top position, I don't think that Josh is going to pull guard. And typically the way that Wagner wrestles, he has some of those kind of long shots that go from one corner of the mat to the other. Mm-hmm. But other than that, he typically tries to counter wrestle and defensively wrestle and coerce you to pull guard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Don't think that's going to happen
just
here.
Just stay on your head, right? You know, just kind of like being mean, popping at the shoulders, pushing people around. Like, you know, he's a very physical wrestler.
Everybody always says the same thing. Wagner, they say messing with your fingers, he's hitting you in the chest, he's talking to you the whole time, and he gets in these people's head. That's what JT, Josh's teammate, has always been so good at against Wagner, because he doesn't let it get in his head. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be the opposite with Josh, where not that it doesn't let it get in his head, but in a different way where JT just sort of ignores it. I think Josh is going to love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's going to
play back.
Yeah.
Wagner's good at all of it too. Like, he'll not only be mean and rough and stuff, but he'll joke with you during the match. He'll smile.
Oh, yeah.
He'll talk about something that's going on the sidelines. Like, he's trying everything to get you unfocused on the match.
I first started realizing that. I mean, you know, he talks out there, but when we started doing these events with no fans after COVID, you can hear a pin drop in there, and you can just hear what Wagner's saying. He's just joking. I mean, it's got to be getting in a guy's heads when not only they get frustrated. You know, they're all,
because you're trying to be focused on the match.
They're trying to be focused. They're getting frustrated by the stuff he's doing, and then he's laughing and joking the entire time and sort of trolling him out there. It's got to really mess with people.
Yeah, so I think he's an expert at it. You know, he'll see if maybe he'll ratchet it up and maybe, you know, play the bad guy. If that doesn't work, okay, maybe he'll play the funny guy, or, you know, like, he's down for anything.
I think it was JT said on the WNO podcast like a year ago. He's like, we were like, what was Wagner saying to you right here at ADCC? He kept telling me, you're too slow. He just kept telling him that the entire time. So Wagner loves getting in people's head.
Gotta love it.
I mean, he's so relaxed when he goes out to compete, too. It's like, he's one of the only guys, like, in our job in media, you know, a lot of people, like, you can't even talk with him when they're warming up.
Mm-hmm.
Wagner will be sitting there joking around with you when he's right about to step on the mat. He just loves it. He's super relaxed going out.
Yeah, and he competes every weekend. This is a dude, Wagner, like, truly, truly loves the competition. A lot of people say they do. Wagner truly, truly does.
All right, so moving down the card, I believe next in the lineup is a match that was added late. This is an interesting one here. Nicky Ryan versus Gabriel Almeida from Checkmate. This was not even planned to be on the card, But I think Nicky, I mean, his last match with PJ was sort of uneventful. Nicky feels he's better than that, feels he could have put on a better performance, and he just hit us up. He's like, can I get back on ASAP? We're like, yeah, all day you can get back on. So now we got Nicky Ryan versus Gabriel Almeida, who's another guy who competes a lot. We know he's always ready to compete. And, yeah, I'm excited for this one. I saw Gabriel out there in Long Beach. His Nogi game was looking great. It's looking really exciting, a lot of submission attacks. But I think we're going to see a super focused and a super aggressive Nicky Ryan, and just the fact that he wanted to get back on ASAP. I think he's got something to prove.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all for it. And I think Nicky, every time he comes on to Who's Number One, he's just getting hungrier, right? If we look at his last three matches, right, he had that tie match where he did not perform, I think, the way that any of us expected him to. So he came back out and he had that match with Tony Ramos. He won, but wasn't impressive because he was expected to win, right? And then he had his match with PJ, and he maybe wanted to change the game plan. And again, he won. He was expressly not happy with the way he performed. So I think that all of these, you know, the first loss and then the win and then the next win, which haven't delivered, I think, what all of us have expected from him, is just making him hungrier. And that's great for everybody. I mean, the hungrier Nicky gets, I think the more he's going to be willing to put it on the line and show us what he's got.
How much bigger is Gabriel Almeida than Nicky Ryan?
Probably not too much, man.
Yeah, he's gotten
thicker
recently.
Remember what Nicky
weighed
in for the last one?
184 point something.
Wait, I think they actually had to meet at 175. But I mean, I bet Nicky will be around 180, low 180s. I don't know how big Gabriel is, but he might have to cut a little. What does Gabriel use to compete at in IBJJF?
He did 88 ADCC, so.
I mean, if anything, I think there's less than
medium heavy, probably 188.
Anything is probably less than 10 pounds that Gabriel's heavier, I'd imagine, but I mean.
Yeah, because Nicky did cut a little weight to get down to that 175.
Yeah, I mean, he might be a little heavier. I don't know if he's going to be stronger than Nicky. I mean, these DDS guys love to lift their weights, but mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. This is, Connor, what are people saying about this one? This is a really interesting match.
Hard call. A lot of people are, I don't think they're sure, but people want Nicky Ryan back regardless. They're talking about running it back with PJ. They're talking about getting an Andrew Wiltsey match in there. But I think they need to pay attention to Gabriel Almeida. He has to make it through a really tough competitor, probably one of the tougher that he's been through on the Who's Number One stage. And if the Nicky that faced Tyru Atolo shows up, he could have some serious problems with this one. You know, if a ADCC Trials, like, hungry Nicky shows up, it could be a different match. But, yeah.
Both these guys, ADCC Trials winners. Gabriel Almeida went down
won a tough bracket.
Yeah, super tough bracket. I heard he was fighting in the finals. I mean, we don't have a video, unfortunately, of that tournament. But I heard he was, like, fighting, like, 2 o'clock in the, they're fighting finals at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. It's just a crazy tournament down there. The Brazil ADCC Trials. So the guys who come out on top of that tournament, I feel like, are pretty special. And Gabriel, not expected, I feel like, to come out of that tournament on top, but he did. Didn't have the showing I'm sure he was looking for at ADCC, but he's a very young guy. I think there's a lot of pressure here on Nicky Ryan to perform. You know, he's kind of had a couple lackluster performances, and of course nobody's more mad about that than Nicky Ryan himself, you know. So I think there's a lot of pressure on him. I feel like you know, he's been trying to evolve his game. He's been trying to change a little bit up, trying to change his style. I feel like we might see him go back and go for a leg lock real quick here and try to end this one very quick, because that's of course the better feeling, right?
So. Something about you saying changing his style that I think sort of plays in his favor here is we saw him in his last match. He was really trying to wrestle up from guard, right? I think it was a lot tougher against PJ Bartz than it is going to be against Gabriel
Almeida. PJ might be one of the best wrestlers in jiu-jitsu. Right. He really might be. You know,
so. I think if he gets up on those single legs like he did against PJ, he's putting Gabriel on the mat and he's going to be on top.
Because Gabriel does play guard as well. He's got a great guard as well. He's kind of, you know, ambidextrous like that. So I don't think he'll mind playing guard against Nicky Ryan, especially if he is a little bit bigger than Nicky. So I don't know. A lot of question marks on this one. I think that there's a lot of pressure on Nicky to perform here. So we'll see if he can rise to the occasion. You know, he's an exciting grappler, of course, just like his brother. This is a big match for him, I think.
I don't know that if Nicky goes for a leg lock, he delivers the answers that he's trying to deliver. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong here, but it seems to me like Nicky has proven to himself, I can leg lock anybody I roll with, so I want to do something differently. So I feel like if he heel hooks Gabriel Almeida, now Gabriel Almeida is not Tony Ramos, but I think he doesn't get anything more than he got from beating Tony Ramos.
I just think when I look at him in his post-match interview, he looked disappointed, you know, and I would have to imagine, and he won the match. He won the match, you know.
That's what we want, right? We want guys who don't want to win like that.
Exactly, exactly. And he looked disappointed in his post-match, talking to him afterwards. He looked disappointed. This is a guy who just like his brother, considers it a loss if he doesn't get the submission. So I think he's just refocuses a little bit and says, hey, whether it's a leg lock, whether it's a Kimura, whether it's a triangle, I just need to get the submission here.
Yeah, I mean, I want more submissions personally. I'm the guy backstage in these things. When I see these matches that are going on the wire and nothing happened, I'm just like, oh shit, something happened, because I'm gonna have an angry coach saying their athlete got screwed if something doesn't happen. No more close decisions, please.
Puts us in a tough position. Puts everybody in a tough position, obviously, right? You know, we were trying to find who the best is. So,
all right, Nikki Ryan versus Gabriel Almeida. Moving down the card, next up, I believe, would be Jessica Khan versus Patty Fontes. This is an interesting one. They fought before, I think at an EBI or something. Jessica was a blue belt or purple belt. It was like a teenager. Patty was already, I think, a Nogi world champion at black belt. Now they're going to run it back. There's a little bit of story here. I mean, this women's 115 division is crazy. They got a lot of good girls in there. Maissa Batos, Grace Gondrum, Jessica Crane. We got a lot of girls we've been using on there. And this is one that Patty got pissed off about the rankings, remember? She got pissed off when I moved Jessa above her in the rankings. I think Patty's coming out with something to prove in this match.
This is her opportunity for sure to say, like, wait, you put Jessa at 3 and Patty's now down at 4.
Yeah, who did that?
Come through me for
who's responsible for that?
Yeah, obviously a great one. I love this 115-pound weight class. We've been featuring a lot of these girls, and it's just filled with talent, filled with young talent. Jess is very young. You know, we just had Grace out there, who's a sub-20. You know, a lot of great, great talent in this 115-pound weight class. I think that's why maybe the rankings are fluctuating so much there, is because there's just a lot of talent in this weight class at the moment. It really feels like it's really progressing forward. So Patty's been kind of at the top of this weight class for at least a few years now. And so now she's kind of seeing this new generation, this next generation of grappler like Jessica Khan. And she's eager to kind of beat back that next generation. We'll see if she can.
I talked with Patty when I was in Cali, and she was talking about how she has not had the best performance. Like, especially, I think she's probably thinking of like summer matches with Maissa, a match with Grace. And she said that she was recovering from injuries and stuff, and she feels like now she's at 100%. She thinks, says now you're going to see a different Patty than you saw in those matches. I think she's excited for this one with Jess.
I really hope so, because the way I look at this division, right, there's like it's kind of three or four tiers, right? There's Maissa, who's on a tier all her own. She is the number one for sure. There's a very close second, right, which is maybe Patty, Jessa, and Grace. And then there's, you know, the five or six other girls down there who could very easily sneak up into the top four. So I want to see somebody who's a contender in that top four who can face Maissa and hang with her and potentially beat her.
Yeah, Maissa needs some challenges for sure.
I mean, we got to run. It's not going to happen for a minute because of scheduling conflicts, but we got to run Jessa versus Grace one day, too. Like, that was a match with a lot of heat behind it. Connor, what are they saying? Are they behaving themselves?
They're behaving themselves now. They had to get themselves in check.
You put some people on timeout today?
I have not. They handled themselves, luckily. We got Steve is really petitioning for that moderator, and he's keeping everyone in check for me. But he's also telling me, bet the house on Jessa, which I like. And to be fair, Patty, you guys had talked about her most recent losses. You know, three out of the six have been Maissa Batos, as you said, and anyone willing to take on the number one in the world over and over and still come back to fight, to me that just shows she's ready for a war coming up, and that's exciting to see.
I mean, Maissa beat up on her, but I mean, to be fair, Maissa stomps everybody in this division besides Grace Gundrum so far in her last match. Like, Maissa, every time you see her compete, she's putting up 20-something points.
Yeah, she scored 21 points on Jessa.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Jessica is for sure the favorite here. She's the young up-and-comer. She's been proven a lot. She had a great win on Who's Number One stage against Danielle Kelly, you know. So Jessa has all the tools to be the favorite and to win here. You know, but like I said, there's people who like Patty who've been in the game and have something to say about these next-generation up-and-comers. So it's a perfect kind of, you know, battle of generations a little bit here, and we'll see who's got.
We got a showdown coming in, at this weight class to determine who's going to come out on top and be dominant here. Maes is the clear number one right now, but we got a few girls gunning for that top spot, and I think, you know, things are going to sort themselves out over the rest of the year. We're going to have a lot of fun stuff to look forward to at 115 pounds.
Yeah, I really do love this weight class. It might be like the fastest growing, most exciting weight class in jiu-jitsu right now, just because of the new names that we can kind of keep seeing. Jessie Crane is another name we haven't mentioned, but she looked fantastic on the last.
That girl who fought Grace last time looked great.
Yeah. Alex Nguyen there, she looked great. So, there's just so many names. I feel like there's even more and more names that we don't even know about yet. Yeah. who are making their way in this
division.
I'll
drop a little hint. Somebody in my Las Vegas trip told me that they can make 115 pounds. So I think we're gonna see a new name added to the mix out there.
There you go.
By the way, guys, a ton of the girls in this division are gonna be up in Nogi Pans, or they're at least registered. So we could see, you know, a lot of the shake up there too, and maybe some potential matches and. Give us some insight on who else to look at here.
I think Patty, Jessa, and Maes are in the same weight.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
And Alex as well.
She's in the same weight class? Oh, this is going to be a fun one. I'll be excited to see Alex because she looked really impressive against Grace. Right. See how she does against these girls. Last match of the main card, Jonathan Alves from Art of Jiu-Jitsu versus Oliver Taza from the DDS. This will be Jonathan's first match on Who's Number One. I don't know if I've even seen him compete in Ogi before. Mm. Taza, his last match on Who's Number One, he won a sort of controversial, I don't want to say controversial, close decision, probably a split decision against Johnny Tama. But he's sort of been slipping since then. He's been losing on some other cards and stuff. So this is a matchup. I mean, Taza sort of needs to win this one. And Alves is sort of a question mark, right? Because we've seen so much of him in the gi. I don't know what to think of him in the no-gi. What are you guys thinking about this one?
Was that Hibamar match? Was that no-gi? Or was that in the gi?
That was in the gi, I think.
That was in the
gi.
He is a black belt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he's a purple belt no-gi world champ, though.
All right.
Okay.
It's been a little. I think that was the last time he competed in no-gi, his purple belt no-gi worlds.
AOJ prospect in Jonathan Alves. You know, I've been high on Jonathan for a long, long time. First met Jonathan as a blue belt. I've been to, you know, every world championships he's been in. He's basically just, like, chewed up every color belt he's ever fought except for Sam Nagai. So I've been high on Jonathan Alves for a long time. Traditionally known as a gi player, he is stepping out of his comfort zone and stepping out of his comfort zone into against somebody who's really well versed in these things that Jonathan just doesn't have a lot of experience, like with leg locks and things like that. You know, Taza is an expert. He comes from the DDS team. So this is definitely kind of clash of styles. Jonathan, more traditional, more gi-based. He comes from AOJ, which is, of course, one of the best schools in the world as well. So it's going to be interesting. Can Taza kind of get to these leg entanglements? Has Jonathan had the time to study these leg entanglements, to know where he is in these positions? You know, this one's an interesting one for sure. But, I like Jonathan Alves here for sure. But Taza can pull some upsets.
We know what the storyline is going to be, like with the fans, everybody going. Oh, AOJ, they're IBJJF, they don't do sub-only, this and that. I wonder how long people are going to keep making this mistake for. Guy Mendez is very deliberate with his planning. He's not sending Jonathan Alves out there if he just doesn't know what the hell he's doing in no-gi.
He's just never done a heel hook before. Yeah. That's not the case. No, these guys are well-versed. They're prepared. If nothing else, these guys are well-prepared.
I mean, Jessa and Cole looked phenomenal when they appeared on Who's Number One.
And, you know, one thing that strikes me about this matchup particularly is the one thing we can say about any AOJ competitor, right, is like they don't stall, they don't run away, they attack and they move forward as slowly and incrementally as possible so that they can get where they want to go, but they're not running away, and that's always the problem that Taza faces is people know he's trying to leg lock them, so they stay far and away and try and jump from the outside and pass and kind of flash on things. Taza's not going to face that problem here, right? He's not going to face people who are not trying to engage with him, or a Jonathan who's not trying to engage with him, but he is going to deal with some pressure that I don't think he's normally seen.
Yeah, you know, Johnny Tama passed past Taza's guard at the last Who's Number One, and I think that if Alves is able to get to that same position, it's going to be a quite a different story. I think Alves is a dangerous guy if he gets past your guard. So
I mean, AOJ, dude, they put on some beautiful jiu-jitsu.
They
they're a team. When people are like, oh, these guys are IBJJ, and they're like, no, AOJ is really focused on getting a sub. Like, if Alves gets the side control, he's going to be trying to get the sub. He's going to be trying to, I mean, we're talking earlier about people rolling for bolos out of leg locks. You know that they're going to be ready for that. This is an interesting one, but, I mean, Oliver Taza is dangerous, man.
AOJ isn't interested in winning. AOJ is interested in being far and away the most dominant team in jiu-jitsu. That's what they're trying to get to. They're not trying to squeak by wins or anything like that. No, they want guys like Cole, like Tynan, like Jonata to kill everybody. Like, they're not happy with just squeaking out wins or anything like that. No, Gi, those guys are focused on submissions. Those guys are focused on big, big wins, just like, you know, DDS and everybody. So I love this team. Really excited that they're back on it.
This one's a big-time question mark for me. I don't know what the hell to expect, and I love it. Connor, what's going on YouTube? What are people thinking about this match?
We got some votes for Oliver Taza, which is really interesting. He's come in as a leg lock specialist, and sadly, we haven't been able to see him finish a high-level opponent with a leg lock yet. But
he's another guy, I feel like, who's like in the process of changing his style or in the process of proving he's not just a leg locker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we also have a few questions. One for Michael Sears. Everyone's been wondering about the shades, man. They're calling you Michael Hollywood in the comments section, which I'm a little bit of a fan of.
The bad guy.
The bad guy, right there. Look at him.
This is my new look. I just wear shades inside now. I figured I'm cool enough to do this now, so I'm just going with it. I don't know. I just make up shit as I go along, but...
I told him that you'd win Hollywood since Daisy Fresh, man. The fame's
Hollywood.
Gotten to you.
You're right. I have.
Exactly. That's been my goal since I got here, just to be Hollywood. I want to be talented enough that I can just be completely unreasonable, maybe get addicted to drugs, and people are just like, yeah, that's just how Mike is, but just put up with it. But, Connor,
you gotta
what
bleach
else?
Your hair
yeah,
next.
Yeah, yeah. What other questions we got going on there?
Well, we had one about Corey's beard, but we're going to leave that to the side. I think there's not too many questions around the Taza-Jinata match, except for the fact of, like, can Taza lock it up? That's the big question mark over most of his matches.
Let's answer the Corey Beer question. Yeah, Corey, what happened? Did HR make you shave your beard?
So Reed and I had a side bet after before.
Yep, we did.
Before
we
was number one.
Yep.
It was actually a hazing incident. Corey's the first guy on the team.
No, I made all the wrong picks and Reed made all the right picks. So I had to shave
Thank
my
you for
beard.
Owning up
he
to
did
that.
Not have to cut his hair.
What's gonna happen next time Reed makes bad picks, though? Are we gonna get something interesting?
What do you mean next time?
Well, all right, come on, buddy. We all gotta make the bad picks sometimes. But are we gonna get something cool with your hair for it?
What do you mean something? My hair's always looking cool. Every single time Reed, I do this podcast, my hair's looking cool.
Reed does have the coolest hair on the team. I can't even grow hair anymore. So, Connor, what was the third question that you said? Is this a real question about jiu-jitsu? We can answer more bullshit questions. I like that.
No, I think most of the bullshit questions were the shades and doors questions. They've been going back and forth, and I think everyone's interested in the matches. But
right. Is Taza signed up for Nogi Pans this week?
He's in there,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bunch of us. Basically, me, Corey, and Connor will be out there at Nogi Pans this weekend. So, holler at us. We'll also be scouting some talent to see who we want to put on who's number one in the future.
So all you purple
I'm
going to
be in the Raptors with some binoculars, you know, like an old baseball scout. All right, so we already did 45 minutes. Let's do a quick run through of the prelims. Andrew Tackett versus Mika Gavao. This match is crazy. I mean, I think they're both like 17 years old. Maybe Andrew just turned 18. This is the future. They're the same size. I mean, this one's going to be crazy. What are you guys thinking going into this match?
Yeah, both these guys are electric grapplers. Both these guys on the come up for sure. This one's so confusing to me. Part of me thinks, like, Micah Galvao is just going to go out there and blow the doors off of Andrew Tackett, but then the other part of me feels like Andrew Tackett is just going to go out there and blow the doors off of Micah Galvao. So, like, it's just – it's hard to reconcile the two. I don't know. Both the guys are so good, it's hard to imagine either of them beating each other, but, of course, it'll have to happen.
This reminds me of – I was talking about somebody with this about Dante versus Roberto, and it was like – those guys are both, like, the way that they fight and, like, their pace and the way they live off scrambles. I was like, man, that match, you could do it 100 times and it would turn out different every time. Because it's just like, who gets that little inch in a scramble or whatever? And I feel like this is going to be that match. It's just like, they're just going to go out there, go after each other, and whoever capitalizes first is probably going to just, you know, just beat the other person up for the rest of the match.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk about, like, unstoppable force meets immovable object. This is two unstoppable forces. Yeah. It's just two trains coming in head-on collision. And I think exactly like you said, we could see this match 100 different times with 100 different outcomes. But I do think that if this match goes after 10 minutes, Tackett's cardio comes into play. Before 10 minutes, I think I think Mika might just be a little too precise.
Would you guys say that is Andrew like the more seasoned no-gi competitor?
Absolutely, yeah. I think so. Yeah. I mean, Mika, all I really, he's going to fight no-gi pants this week, but all I really know about him is that podium match. I'm sure he's done some other stuff in Brazil.
But mostly a dominant force in the gi, right?
Yeah, for you guys that don't know about Andrew, I feel like Andrew's sort of like the meaner Tekkit brother, like a little bit rougher around the edge, a little bit more aggressive. They're all nice guys. They call me Mr. Michael and stuff. The most polite people I've ever met in my life. Great but guys. I mean, when Andrew goes out there and competes, man, he gets a little rougher.
He may have a little bit of that middle brother thing going on.
Yeah. I know about that. but I loved in Andrew's last match, you know, where he basically had Sean's back for a good portion of it, you know, but at the end, you know, he was calling Sean up to stand back up. You know, he was calling him over. Like, he was like, come on, like what a badass.
And then took him down immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately capitalized on it.
Yeah, DeMarco's a good wrestler. I mean, Mika Gavau's coming in with about as much hype as anybody I've ever seen, you know. But he's been out of the country for a minute. He just got back in. And it's going to be like, this is a tough test for him. I mean, whoever comes out of this match, I mean, Mika Gavau is already a big name. Everybody's excited to Andrew Tech. It's a huge star if he comes out and gets a W in this match.
Yeah. It would be a big win for him. Yeah, obviously, we've all been hearing about Mike McHale there for a long time, and anybody who's ever trained with him or coached him or anything like that, you know, gushes about how good this guy is, you know. So finally, we're going to get to see him on a big stage against a big opponent like Andrew Tackett. Time to shine. Time to see who's got this one, man. Excited.
I love seeing it because we don't get to see much of Mika anyway. The only times we see him, it's like we'll see one highlight clip coming out of some tournament down there. And it's like
buzzsaw.
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't see anything until you see something absolutely wild, and it really makes you ask, like, all right, how well will he do when he hops back in the U.S. circuit, back in this who's number one competition scene? I mean, he was on the first one, so don't forget that.
Yeah, tap Mateus Rodriguez in the key. This is something too that's interesting looking forward, looking past this match, or other guys around this weight. There's two other guys, young guys around the same age as these guys. Ty Rotolo and Nicky Ryan would be a fun matchup for whoever comes out of this one.
The future of grappling is so bright. Yeah. So bright.
19-year-old, super talented. It's only going to get crazier. Mm-hmm. But we're already 50 minutes in. Let's just skim over the last two. I mean, Cole Abate versus Bird. You guys know what to expect. It's AOJ. Cole's a super prodigy going against Andrew Wilkie's little brother from Daisy Fresh. That's going to be a great match. 10th Planet versus DDS in the last one. Anybody got anything to say before we get out of here?
Glad to see Damien get a match out there.
Damien's cool guy. Mm-hmm. Going against Louise from 10th Planet in Los Angeles, who I know Eddie Bravo was really big on.
Great rivalry, 10th Planet versus DDS.
You know, he had that gnarly shoulder lock, too, at Emerald City. And he's got great wrestling. He's actually got a bunch of matches on Flow Wrestling.
I actually traveled to Kazakhstan with Luis that one time.
Oh, wow.
I did the UWW Grappling Worlds one time, and he was on Team USA. Shout out to O. Steve. We love you, our new moderator for the show. Connor, anything going on back there with you before we get out of there?
We did have one question I think you guys may be able to help out with. Okay. Are we doing Flow Zone this weekend for no-gi pants?
No, I think it's just... Probably.
There's got to be some sort of commentary going on. Tune in no-gi pants. A lot of these athletes going to be in there. Everybody say a prayer for Connor. He's going to take a bus 18 hours to get an ID in Nashville. We're all going to be out in Dallas this weekend. Who's number one? The tickets are going to sell out for this event. A bunch of them already sold out. So if you guys don't know, we have a ticket link probably in our Instagram bio. Right, Kyle? Or right, Connor?
There you go. Yes, we do.
Kyle's the producer.
You can grab tickets at the link in our bio on our Instagram. You can pretty much get everything there. So stay tuned, guys.
Ton of big announcements coming, guys. Make sure you tune in next week. We'll do our pick. Maybe betting lines will be out. We'll talk about that. All right. Hollywood Mike signing out. Talk to you guys later.